It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, Tarncast. It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast, Tarncast. The Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Tarncast?
The Tarncast, yeah.
Tarncast.
T-O-N-N cast.
Tarncast.
Because there were already a bunch of Toddcasts.
Hey, what's up? This is Lombardo Boyar. Welcome to the Tarncast. All right, cool.
That was excellent.
All right. You can do my guest today is, what's the freaking name again?
Todd Robert Anderson.
There you go. All right, cool. Are you rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Oh, hey,
yeah.
Welcome to the Tarncast. This is Lombardo Boyar. My host today is Todd Anderson, some fucking guy. How you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Yeah. So, what's going on in your life?
You know, a lot of stuff.
All right.
What department do you want?
I don't know. Family? Let's go family first.
Family's
fucking
good.
Bore everybody.
Yeah. Family? Family's great. The wife is teaching, and the kid is going to third grade.
Third grade. Amazing. How long have you been married?
I'll be 14 years in November.
14 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Together for 18. Yeah.
Together for 18.
Yeah. That, together.
That's
18
crazy.
Years.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What
it
took
is
you
crazy.
So long to pop the question?
Money.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Money. See,
yeah.
See, like, you know, minorities don't really worry about that. You just fucking do it.
You just do it.
Just do it. Worry about it later.
Get a bunch of credit cards.
And fucking A.
Well, how much money?
Lease a Mercedes. Live in a studio.
How much money did your wedding cost?
Oh, my wedding. Actually, my wedding wasn't too much. We had a wedding party because we got married in Vegas.
Oh,
the Little Chapel of the West.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That was funny. We flew there on a Wednesday to get married, and we got married on a Sunday, like on the way out. I think it was the opposite way. I think we got there Friday.
Uh-huh.
All right? And we're going to get married, but every day, you know, we're so hungover and we like to gamble. And we'd get up and we'd start curing it. Next thing you know, we're gambling again. Yeah, we'll do it tomorrow. And we just kept doing that. So we finally got married like on a Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Friday, we were just done.
That's
and like
awesome.
I threw up at the church.
Oh yeah,
it was
that.
Awesome in the bathroom, you
nice.
Know.
Nice.
And then, but the great thing was, I don't know if it was.
Well,
for me,
you
but,
think it was just that you were terribly hungover, or do you think there was some nerves?
Both.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
they worked in
yeah.
Congress.
I don't know how it was for you, but once we got married, and we felt horrible. I mean, once we got married, like there was this big weight lifted off our shoulders, and we felt great. Like, once it was over, you know, it was really cool. No, not like that for you?
You
got
no.
a weird look on your face.
No. Nope.
Nope,
I didn't,
not at all?
No, no.
How I was didn't. It for you? Were you just...
Well, I mean, like I said, we were together for 4 years, so we just... I mean, we got married and had a
was
wedding.
It important for you that she cry when we got married?
No, it wasn't important, but she did. I mean,
okay,
I
good.
Started crying before
good.
She did.
Good. See, I think that's important. I go to weddings, and if I don't see him cry, man... I don't know. That's a big sign for me. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
I've
seen it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we exchanged, you know, we wrote our own vows.
Yeah.
So we, like, were telling these vows to each other.
Oh, that's cool.
It was impossible not to.
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, I love you. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are my vows.
Those are good.
Oh, baby, shut up.
Very poetic.
You want a drink? Yeah, we left there, and like, I think our meal when we left there was like Doritos and like Mountain Dew, because that's all we can, like, eat. You're still hungover.
So, but then did you have a big wedding party?
Then we had a big wedding party at the Queen Mary.
Oh.
Believe it or not, which is really cool. We got the whole bow. Is that it? The back of it?
The stern.
The stern. Is that the back?
The bow.
So, yeah, they let us use the whole stern.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was $10,500. I mean, it wasn't that much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the whole thing. And we had... booze, I think, for I paid for an extra.
That's
hour.
Like half of what we spent on our wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even that is cheap, even what you spent.
No, no. We
right?
were doing a like pretty frugal wedding by wedding standards. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And you can't please everybody. I mean, there were still people pissed that we forgot about, you know.
Oh, my God. It wasn't that with us because we, you know, we only had so much money, so we could really only have so many guests.
Right.
So some people we invited like had like new significant others or whatever that we didn't know. So they were not,
screw
we weren't
them.
Plus wanting the thing. Yeah.
Were you like, did you feel yourself on purpose, like not trying to get closer to them? as the date was coming. You're like, no, we're not friends, dude. No,
yeah, exactly.
Everybody can come, not you, dude.
Not you. No, we did that. No, but we got people, like, would get the invite, like, yeah, like, send back the RSVP and then put, like, a write in a plus one. And then we'd have to call and say, look, we can't afford your plus one.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
And some people got really offended. We were but it's like, we're going to spend $70 on your dumbass.
I can't bring my date.
No. Because that's another $70.
Exactly.
So you
should have told them to fucking share their food.
Well, it's so weird how people get like an ego and they think that your wedding is about them.
Oh,
it's like, no. Like, we're inviting you because we love you, but if you're going to be a dick about it, then fucking stay home.
Yeah.
And a couple people never talk to us again.
I know. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
I had my niece's boyfriend's family get mad at us. You know, like, they showed up at a party afterwards. I got the stink eye from the mob.
Why?
Because they weren't invited. I'm like, you date my niece, dude. Like, I'm not.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What else? All right. How about career-wise? What's going on?
Oh, well, at the time of this recording, the season finale of You're the Worst, a show that I've done a bunch of episodes of. And that was like my biggest appearance on the show was in this episode.
Yeah, I liked it. I caught an episode because I saw you were going to be in it. It was really funny. You were in the restaurant, but I get the feeling that you're kind of a dick on the show.
I am a boorish.
You seemed really, really
frat
good at
boy.
It. It
was a middle-aged frat boy. Yeah.
It was awesome, man. You made me laugh.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
thanks.
Dude.
Yeah.
It was cool. Nice. You were the worst.
Yes. I was the worst.
That's right. Watch it, FX.
And your show got picked up.
Yes, yeah. I'm also an actor. Not just a host.
Not just a podcast host.
No, I know that about you. My friend made this joke. He said, I was like, I actually met an actor today who didn't have a podcast.
I have three of them.
Do you? That's awesome. Three podcasts.
Well, one's with the Film Pigs. We do one.
That's right, yeah.
And then I do another one.
I think I've heard of that show.
Yeah. You've been on it a couple times.
Yeah.
You're always funny on that show, man. Well, I was actually going to ask you, now I'm getting sidetracked.
Oh, shit.
Because I think very tangentially.
Yeah.
When I'm
well,
baked.
At least you know what that word means. I'm like lost.
Like, I'm listening to my own brain and, like, going off on weird tangents before I finish my original thought.
Marijuana.
Like, right now, I have no idea where I was going with all this.
Yeah. You were said something about the show.
Oh, right. So you, Murder in the First.
Yes.
Play a cop.
Yeah.
And you're all serious on that.
Yes, I am, yeah.
But then if you compare that to, say, your performance in Big Ass Spider.
Right.
You're hilarious in that.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
So where did you start? Did you start, like, when you first started acting? Were you coming from a comedic place or
I think
a serious
so.
Place?
You know, my first dream was to be on Saturday Night Live as a little kid.
Okay.
You know what I mean? In El Paso, Texas. I'd watch that all the time. And I was always the funny kid growing up. Like, my weapon was my mouth.
Right. What years of SNL did you come up on? Like, what was the cast?
It was like the Eddie Murphy. I remember catching him and that. But, yeah, who did I love on there? Dana Carvey.
Oh, okay.
That's the era that I really
caught. Like, he's, like, right after Eddie Murphy.
I mean,
it was, like, Eddie Murphy, and then it was, like, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
and Anthony Michael
Hall.
Like, what the fuck?
The shitty years.
The what the fuck?
Who the hell is Warren thinking? I know. Awesome. Well, he doesn't think Latinos are funny. I know that. Screw you, dude.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. He's said that before, but I don't really care.
When people make broad statements of any kind and it's clear that they actually believe it, it's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, like, I mean, I may be wrong, and I'd do any one of your movies, Lauren. So I'm a hoe, man.
Yeah, why not? But, like, it just, like, when people say, women aren't funny.
Yeah, I know.
What world are you living in?
Yeah.
How are you not
women
seeing...
women are hilarious, I know.
It's still so bizarre.
Well, they're just trying to hold on to that old school, you know.
Whatever.
Stupid.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So you start...
Comedy came, and then, I joked a lot, and then when I first got into acting, I did plays in Hollywood like everybody does, and one of the clues that I was doing the right thing was one of the directors of this play that I just went to read for, she was like my childhood friend's brother's girlfriend, you know, like, and I hadn't seen her in years.
Right, right.
And she comes out, I'm like, Anne-Marie? And so anyways, she hired me, and then she started a comedy group, like a sketch group called No Speak English. So I did so
how
I did
long
that.
Did you do that?
God, that must have been 2-3 years. We performed at the Ice House, you know, in the smaller room, you know,
yeah,
we did
yeah.
sketches there, and that was fun, you know, and then, but always trying to get, you know, into acting. And actually from there, I got a manager and then, but the like they say, you know, the clowns are, you know, usually kind of
sad.
Yeah, yeah. So when once I started auditioning and stuff, you know, the dramatic stuff just kind of came to me, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I started to book dramas first and stuff, but
oh really,
but that's why, you know, the comedy was great. That's why I love doing Big Ass Spider, and I did the Joe Schmo Show too 2 years ago just to challenge myself. Yeah, because I was known mainly as a dramatic actor there for a little bit, and
yeah,
I was like, no more, you know.
It seems like an effortless shift for you.
I love it. I mean, yeah. I just want to, you know, try to get more range. And even on Murder in the First, we are, I mean, hopefully Navarro will get darker, and I'm happy about that, because I want to
really
show that and get a little bit more intense.
It's gonna be fun. I look forward to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, you know, as a goal as an actor, you know, you're awesome too, and you always
thanks.
Yeah, but you want to get better. You want to test yourself.
Well, and you want and you want to do. I was just talking with someone about that, like how they're asking, like, what career, whose, like, career would you like if you could be, you know, the star that you
look up to? Whose would you like? Yeah. Where is it?
Well, I mean, like, the people I thought of were, you know, I mean, I was thinking about Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Because when, in his heyday, like, I wouldn't want to be he is great. I wouldn't want to be Michael Keaton who just stops working all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But, like, you look at all the stuff he did, you know, for better or for worse, you know. But you had, like, the comedic stuff like Beetlejuice and Night Shift. But then you had, like, hardcore drama like Clean and Sober.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was Batman.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, and then he was, like, a serial killer in that Pacific Heights movie and all that.
Right. Like, yeah, he's had a great career. He's done everything. I just think some of his movies don't do well for some reason. You know?
I feel like so many of the movies he did, you know, in the 80s or whatever, it was more because I feel like Hollywood just didn't know quite what to do with the guy.
Yeah, he was different.
Yeah.
Because he was funny and, like, you know, kind of a...
And intense.
Yeah, kind of Bruce Willis-y, but not as rugged, I guess, you know,
right.
Still
that's
kind of
true.
Like, yeah.
Well, and I like Willis, but, you know, Willis doesn't have, like, has never really demonstrated that kind of
no,
range.
No, yeah.
I mean,
he
did the, like, wise cracking guy for a while after Moonlighting, but now he's just, like, hungover, grizzled cop guy who mumbles a lot. And it's good, but it's like, I mean, I think maybe he's kind of playing to, I mean, I'm sure he is playing to that, so he has the stardom.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of smart when you're like a Michael Keaton star, your star fades suddenly because you're not doing the same thing in every movie and you don't have that brand.
Yeah.
And in like the corporate Hollywood culture, it's like when people pay to any given Bruce Willis show, they know the Bruce Willis they're going to get.
Exactly. They know the ride. They know what's up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Fast and Furious movies are ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And like, you know, Latinos love those movies. And I saw an interview where they asked, like, this Mexican kid, you know, why do you like us? Well, you get everything, you know. You get cards, you get fights, you get chicks. You know, that's it. He wants everything. He wants the whole shebang in one thing.
You get, like, giant safes being pulled down on the street
in
Rio.
Oh, my God.
What? I watched that with my kid. Just, it's funny that you bring that up. I watched that with my kid the other day, and that sequence started happening where that safe is just wrecking shit. And he goes, they shouldn't be doing this. This is really dangerous. They're going to kill somebody. And it's like, when I watch movies like this I with him, I always have to say, hey, Colby, remember what you're watching is dumb.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's dumb fun.
Yeah.
But you don't start freaking out about the dumb safe killing people.
Speaking of that, so I just got back from South Dakota. You know, my father-in-law lives there, so we're there for 2 weeks. And my nephew Zach, guess what he wanted to go see? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ah.
So I took him. Last time we talked about it.
Yeah,
you had
taken
your son. So
yeah.
I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah?
It was fun. I mean, yeah.
Because
when I go to those movies now, I mean, if I want to rip it up, you can. But
yeah.
I just try to go along for the ride. You know, if I'm there, just enjoy it.
It was fine for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. It didn't have quite the charm of the old 80s ones with the guys in the dumb suits.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, they were trying to make it a little bit more hardcore. But I had fun. I thought some of the action sequences were actually really fun. The one where they're in the snow and they're using their shells as sleds.
Yeah, and as a smart ass, I totally liked the comic relief.
Right.
He was funny.
Yeah, exactly.
He was great.
Exactly.
I think that was Leonardo or Michelangelo, I think was the...
Yes.
The
I think though, you know, they didn't have enough of the turtles in the movie.
Yeah,
to start. You know, there was too much hanging out with Megan Fox in the first act.
Oh, dude, I'm glad you brought her up. I'm sorry, but Megan, she was awesome in it. Right? Oh my god. Yeah,
well, it's like, it doesn't matter who you have in that role. Yeah. You could have fucking Meryl Streep in that role, dumb role. But you're going to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You're not going to see a show about a reporter trying to get...
Trying to act.
Trying to be taken more seriously. Yeah. That was like the... I was like, I don't give a shit about her stupid career. Where are the turtles? Give me the turtles and the bad guys.
Oh, my God.
But it had Fichtner. And I love
he's
Bill
great.
Fichtner.
Yeah, yeah.
He's always
he's great,
fun.
But I mean, you know, instantly I know he's a bad guy with that guy.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's,
I
he comes on screen and it's like, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, but he did, like, he's sort of made his career there, but he's done other stuff. Like, there's this movie that got panned and, like, dumped on the, video shelves by the distribution company. It was with Jeff Bridges. It's called The Amateurs.
Oh, really?
And it's about, like, it's really weird because it's like a group of, like, small town, you know, misfits.
Yeah.
And this one Jeff Bridges guy is always trying to cook up a scheme to make money.
You know what? I've seen pieces of it, but I haven't finished it.
Yeah.
It's good. I want
Fichtner's hilarious in this movie. Hilarious. But yeah, so they're just trying to make an amateur.
And he comes up with a porno idea, right? Amateur porn or something?
Yeah, that's the concept is they'll make an amateur porn with the people in their small town.
That's right.
So they're like awkwardly trying to ask people if they'll like do porn with them. And
that's awesome.
But Fichtner's just like wants to pop
all over
off
it.
Right away. Yeah.
He's all about it.
Yeah, he's all about it.
That's awesome. No, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
I just saw him in, you know, that, what's the Adam Sandler remake about the football?
Oh, The Longest Yard.
Yeah, and he's great in that. I mean, he plays the asshole guard and he does it well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, and he was one of the astronaut guys in Armageddon.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been in everything.
Yeah.
He's been working forever.
Yeah, well, he's always in those Bruckheimer. fucker. I actually met him at my voiceover agent. You know, I was waiting in the lobby to go read, and he came in and, like, sat, and I was like, holy shit, That's Bill Fichtner.
Yeah.
You know, because I've, you know, loved his work from afar for so long. And I don't get starstruck a lot because I see enough famous people that it doesn't. But, like, I did with him. And I didn't realize it right away because we were sort of exchanging pleasantries. And he's like, where are you from? And I was like, this little town called Sherman, Massachusetts. And then I just, like lit into this monologue about my hometown. And he's just politely listening. And, like, in my head, I'm starting to realize, like, you're not shutting up. Because you're freaking out because you're talking to Bill Fichtner.
Well, now you gotta finish it.
Yeah, I gotta finish it. Because
then you're gonna be even weirder.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Forget it. I love your work.
it was horrifying. But
I actually met him. He'll probably never remember, but he came to visit. Greg Grunberg had put me in another movie called Group Sex. And you know, that guy knows everybody. I don't know if you've met Greg Grunberg.
I did. He was actually when I worked in a sugar-free bakery and gift emporium when I first moved out here, minimum wage job in Studio City, and he would come in.
Yeah.
And then we just would talk and talk about like comedy and sketches and stuff, and then he wanted to start like a sketch show.
Yeah.
So we went so far as I hung out at his house one day.
Oh, cool.
This is so long ago.
Yeah.
And just try to come up with some sketch ideas. Then he got fucking busy. So
yeah, that's how he knows everybody. I mean, he knows everybody. So a bunch of people would drop by set to say hi when we were doing the movie. And you know, Bill was one of them. So that was cool. Got to shake his hands. Yeah. He's taller than you would think, right? He's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's big.
He's a big dude. And he's one of these dudes that, like, when you meet him, I mean, this is the way it was for me, my starstruckedness. But when you meet him, he's one of those guys that he has such presence that you're like, oh, this is why people hire him all the time.
It's just
like when he hangs out and sits down, he's got a cool presence.
Yeah,
and you want to work with that shit, right?
Yeah, settle down, buddy.
Hey. Creaming over.
Oh, damn. Sliding off your seat, fool. For Bill Fichtner. Fichtner. Yes, that dude.
Yeah. So, but you like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It was
fun.
Yeah, and of course, it was there with my nephew, and he loved it. You know, he was going nuts, and that kind of influenced me a little
bit. I took my kid to Expendables 3.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
How was that?
Well, here's my feeling.
I've never seen any of those movies.
All right. I'm a big Stallone fan.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up on Rambo and all that shit. Tango and Cash.
Yeah, I'm sitting next to your fucking Rocky collection.
Yeah, exactly. Rocky. The first four are fantastic.
Yeah, I love them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I've seen 5 and 6. I don't even like those ones, but I've seen them both a bunch of times just because they're Rocky movies. Yeah. And I've seen
the first
ones.
Rocky, I mean, it's a great film.
Oh, no, it's a great classic. But when you talk about the cheesy sequels.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, four especially.
Oh, yeah. You know, Drago, is that the one?
Yeah, yeah. Where they it's mostly a music montage. Yeah. Like they say three things, and then there's a fucking music montage, and he's working out and shit.
If we could change, maybe you could change. Maybe you could change. He brings Russia and the U.S. together, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a classic one.
Yeah. So,
and how about fucking Drago made a career out of that guy? I mean, he's
he's in the Expendables.
That's right. He's in that, too.
He's one of those guys. Yeah. So, but the first Expendables movie, like, I was a big fan of the Stallone.
But no Mr. T. Sorry.
Yeah, that's an oversight. Yeah, what's up? It's more like the movie guys. Yeah, Mr. T was the TV guy. Yeah. But the first two are like really violent, like, you know, blood spraying everywhere and limbs getting chopped off and that kind of like R-rated violence, which is why I like those stupid fucking movies, is that like visceral reaction you get from that. And they don't make too many like hard R
action
movies.
Like he did the hardcore Rambo. Did you see that?
Yeah,
Rambo?
That was fucking
crazy. That was crazy, dude. He came back hardcore.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I liked it. I thought it was like
You can ask my two buddies that I went to see that with. They were like, the whole second half of that movie where he's just blowing people to smithereens everywhere. They were like, I was on the edge of my seat. And I looked like a child, like a happy child.
Yeah, he went off.
So the Expendables movies are fun. I don't think they're as good as that.
Right.
But they have, the first two have like hardcore violence in them like that, you know, which is fun. And then you get all the action guys. Yeah. So they have even more action guys in the new one, but it's PG-13 because they wanted to open up their audience to like younger people because the second one didn't do as well.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Expendables 3, huge fucking bomb. And it's because they divorced themselves from the people who would have gone.
Yeah,
and they're like, "What? Why does a 12-year-old want to go see a fucking Stallone movie?
Dude, can you imagine care dealing about Stallone? With all those fucking egos? I wonder what that's
oh
like.
Oh my god.
What was that like for casting and like negotiations?
And then in this one, like in addition to Schwarzenegger, they had like Harrison Ford and Antonio Banderas, who was really funny actually. And fucking Gibson was in it.
Wow. And Mel Gibson. Yeah.
Mel Gibson was the bad guy.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, Mel Gibson, obviously racist, anti-Semitic misogynist that he is. You know, you have that weird feeling going like watch a movie that he's in. But the fucking guy is good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's undeniably good. So
everybody forgets he was like the first big Aussie crossover. I mean, you know,
he really was.
Mad Max.
And in this dumbass movie, he was like really bringing it. And he was scary. He's playing a lot of bad guys these days. But he's good.
Because that's what he's kind of become in America's eyes, I guess. Or the world's eyes. So
it's
kind of cool. Might as well just go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And be good. So you love to hate him.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
There you go.
So, but, you know, it was fun. If I had not been with my 8-year-old son, which it's probably still pretty, movie for an 8-year-old. Whatever. But, you know, we talk to him about these things. This is dumb.
Yeah, dude.
It's just a shit.
You want to hear? Fuck, dude, I remember being 6 and hiding under the theater seat because my mom took me to go watch The Exorcist.
Oh, Jesus. Christ.
So, yeah, Mexican families don't care.
Yeah.
It's on. Seriously, I remember she rented I Spit on Your Grave when I was young, you know?
The original
70s? Yeah, dude, the original.
It's like an hour-long rape.
I know, yeah.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, it is.
I can't believe that.
It turned out fine.
I don't know about all that stuff. Although I do, when I'm in like a movie, like Freddy versus Jason, where, you know, two teenagers are having naked sex and they get shish kebab. Yeah, I know, but it's like really graphic sex.
Yeah.
Followed by really graphic murder, and I'm surrounded, when I saw it, like, by fucking 7-year-olds, and I was uncomfortable. You know?
It's crazy.
So, but then halfway through the movie, like, there was a 7-year-old kid, like, right next to me, and halfway through the movie, because I was trying to not laugh at the violence, because I was like,
it's not, I don't know if I want to teach him that that's funny.
Yeah. But then, like, halfway through, I just started cracking up, and, like, he became more terrified of me than he was of the movie. He's like, this fucking guy's crazy.
Why is he laughing at this? I'm getting killed and he's cracking up.
So at least halfway through that movie, I said, fuck it. If you want to bring your 7-year-old, that's your choice. It's not something I would do. But The Expendables, like, it's this one's PG-13. Yeah. So I was like, that's the only thing that's going to get me to it is if I bring my kid and he gets it. Because he's never really seen it. He's seen, like, some Fast and the Furious movies and shit like that. But he has – and, like, all the superhero movies. But he's never seen, like, an old-school American shoot-em-up.
Yeah,
and I was like, so this is what we're going to see. And it was his first one. He really liked it, of course.
That's awesome.
And he doesn't know who any of them are.
Yeah.
He knows Stallone because he's seen, you know, the Rocky movies. Yeah. But I don't – and he kind of – it was so funny. I was like, do you know who that guy is? And he's like, I think maybe – what's his name? And I said Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's like – yeah, I don't know.
I was like, all right with that. That's
yeah.
I think that's good for America.
And I was like, he was Mr. Freeze in one of those Batman movies. Because he hasn't seen the, like, the new ones with Christian Bale, I deem too intense for him yet. Like,
that's
maybe
true.
When he's like 12. But he's seen the old ones, you know, with Keaton and shit, and then the one with Clooney and Schwarzenegger's
Mr.
Freeze.
It's funny how funny those seem now. Like, just ridiculous shit.
Yeah. Well, I was never a fan of those movies. I mean, the Burton ones hold up a little bit better, but the Schumacher ones are unwatchable.
Yeah.
But he's like a Batman junkie, so he, like, watches them all the time. But it was funny because he, like, didn't recognize Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, no.
Because he's only seen him as Mr. Freeze in this goddamn movie. So, and, like all those guys didn't know who the hell they were. But he barely recognized Harrison Ford.
Wow, yeah.
I was like, do you know who that is? He's like, it's
pretty old,
like, Indiana Jones? And I was like, but there's that Crystal Skull where he's looking pretty old in that movie.
True.
So I think he could make that leap. Because of it.
So aren't they... Or did they do another one? Are they going to do another one of those?
I have no idea. I mean, I think they threatened to, but I would feel they have to really fast-track that
shit. The last one was a Shia LaBeouf, huh?
Didn't he? Yeah.
That guy. Wow.
Yeah, he went off the deep end.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, he's nuts.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I feel bad, you know, because, you know, we would hope to, everybody wishes to have that kind of career, you know. Can't judge. I mean, we've all had our problems, but man, that, I mean.
Well, yeah, it seems.
Somebody should, I mean, you know, see, like, I don't know how it would be for you, but someone in my family would come over and slap the shit out of me or say, hey, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah. Yeah, that would happen to me, too. But, I mean, like, there's certain people who are, you know, they're out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Charlie Sheen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, his dad is Martin Sheen, for Christ's sake. Yeah. And Martin Sheen can't talk to the guy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But for some reason, I still like Charlie Sheen. He doesn't bug me as much as
Charlie Sheen. I love Charlie Sheen movies. So
oh, yeah.
I don't really like the TV shows.
Yeah, dude. The first movie I went to go see that blew me away as a kid was Platoon.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. He was great in that.
Yeah.
He was great in a lot of stuff, like dramatically. But I liked his, like, cheesy fun movies.
Like The Getaway, The Chase.
And Men at Work.
Did you ever see the one where he was the undercover biker?
What the fuck was that called?
He plays a Harley.
It was like Renegades
or something like that. That was good.
And then there was like Terminal Velocity.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. And he was in that Eastwood movie, The Rookie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I just remembered him because he was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like, that was one of his first roles.
Right, on the bench. Jennifer Grey. Yeah, he's hilarious
in
that.
He's great. And he was kind of a druggie there in that. Hey, what do you know?
Yeah, imagine. And then he was in those Young Guns.
What happened to his bro? He kind of fell off.
Emilio is like...
Oh, you know him, huh?
Yeah.
You're like, Emilio is, you know, he's chilling.
Oh, you want me to call him Mr. Estevez?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm going to call him Emilio because I feel, I've never met him, but I feel a kinship to the Sheens. They're probably my favorite Hollywood family.
I could see that.
Just because their body of work is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's
amazing. He did, he does indie movies.
Yeah.
Emilio does.
He directs. I know that.
Yeah, he directs and he writes and directs and usually works with his dad.
Oh, sweet.
And they actually, I read they did a dual autobiography.
Oh, wow.
Which came out when their last movie did. And it was actually really interesting.
It's fascinating.
Really interesting. But I'm glad you're fascinated. That's what he's doing. He's good.
He's working.
Yeah, he's an artist.
He's just out of the limelight. It's
Good. He lives in Malibu.
You know, I love that he kept the Estevez, you know. He's real deal.
Yeah.
Kept the real last name.
Yeah, it's He did.
Good work.
Good for him.
All right. So, what else?
What else? I don't know. We've talked about Expendables and shit.
Yeah. I can't make myself watch those movies.
Would you want to do like an action movie like that? A crazy action movie?
Yeah, I think, but of course I'd have to like, see, that's the other thing. I think now I love the comedy, and maybe because it's kind of like who I am, but I think any dramatic situation or anything like that could use a little comedy.
You know? I agree.
Yeah, so I'd love to do, yeah, like kind of Bruce Willis style, you know, the unlikely hero, you know.
The
smart ass, you know, the comments on everything.
Yeah.
You know, kind of what the audience is thinking. And
yeah, this is dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot the guy while he's giving his big fucking speech, you know. Because why do they always let him give the big speech?
I don't know. That's why I love that movie about the sharks.
Yeah.
Their Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Because halfway through Jackson's fucking monologue.
The shark said, shut the fuck up.
Ate the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was
awesome. Did you see that in the theater?
I don't think I did, but I like that movie. That's a fun movie.
I did. It was so much fun when that happened. Because, you know, it was a full movie theater. And the whole theater was like, no way! Yeah!
Hilarious. Everybody's always wanted to see that.
Yeah, it was great.
And everybody's thinking that.
Oh, that doesn't happen very much in the movies.
He says, motherfucker, one more time.
Jump. Yeah, it was, I love that. That doesn't happen very often.
Nah.
That you're in a theater and everybody has the same kind of visceral reaction at the same time. Like that first Final Destination movie. Did you ever see that shit?
Yeah, those are great.
When the chick gets hit by the bus, when she's like yelling at her, she steps out and the bus just
out
like,
of nowhere,
and she splats.
Yeah.
The whole crowd, that was one of those moments where the whole crowd was like, wah!
Hell yeah.
You know, it
was
great. That's
the thing, you know, you don't see that as much anymore. Yeah, it takes like a rare movie to do that, you know?
It really does.
You see that all the time.
The other time that's happened to me in the last few years is I went and saw this movie called Big Man Japan.
Big Man Japan.
It's this like Japanese movie about like monsters, and it's about this guy who has the power to become gigantic and fight monsters.
Oh shit.
But it's very weird and very silly, and the whole third, like the whole last 10 minutes of the movie, it just goes completely bananas. You know, the whole thing just changes and it gets really weird, and in this theater, like when that happens, like everybody was sort of, you could look around and everybody was sort of looking at each other like, what the fuck is this? And then this one guy up front goes, okay. And everyone bursts out laughing. And then the last 10 minutes was just people just cheering this bizarreness. It was awesome.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. I love when shit like that
happens. I remember The Matrix. I saw the first one in the theaters, and that was a great audience reaction to that.
Well, what'd they react to? Just like...
Oh, the first... I mean, once we saw the first action sequence, you
know,
with Trinity and all that.
Yeah.
She jumps. Everybody was like...
Yeah, like, people love that shit. Then that bullet photography.
The first one was great.
Yeah.
What else have I seen?
You don't like the sequels?
No, I'm not a big fan.
What are they doing? They're doing like another trilogy of them.
Really?
Yeah, the Wachowski siblings.
Yeah. I think the biggest mistake they made is going back to Zion so much. I mean, because in the first one, there was a lot of, you know, our world type stuff. And that's what's in, I think, made it interesting. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't feel like they were thinking about a trilogy when they made the first one. And the end of the first one is proof that they didn't. Because at the end of the first one, what does he do? He fucking flies.
Yeah.
So then every scrape he's in the second two, you're like, dude, you can fly.
That's true.
Like he hangs around for 20 minutes fighting all those clones in suits. And then the whole time I'm like, why is he expending all this energy?
Yeah, exactly.
Why does he can fly away?
Yeah.
It's pointless.
Stupid.
Pointless. But they obviously weren't thinking. But, you know, whatever. They made lots of money.
saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. That got a good reaction this summer, and I'm in it.
So yeah, you are in it.
But
and you were talking shit to that ape, and then you got yours, dude.
And I saw that at Fox, you know, with all the employees and stuff. And, like, you know, that was the most packed that they said it's ever been there and stuff, and they loved it. It was cool.
I thought it was a really good movie.
It was awesome. But I got to admit, I think the best movie this summer, which I haven't seen yet, was what is it?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
you haven't seen that.
I haven't
yet?
Seen that.
It's fun.
Was it?
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah,
that was
good.
It
was fun. It was like the whole thing. Well, you know, it didn't get too goofy. It wasn't like over the top or campy or anything. But it like I like the Avengers movie too because it has a really good sense of humor running through it,
right.
Like you were saying. Versus like a lot of the like standalone ones, like they're way too serious.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like the Batman's just no fun, and then they made Superman. No
that
fun.
That was horrible.
I was like, why? Like, Superman should be fun. You should be having more fun with this.
Yeah, but it's like everybody said with the Superman, and then, like, I had never seen it. I just caught it on cable maybe, I don't know, 4 months ago. But, I mean, the fighting, the destruction that he caused, it really fucking bugged me.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God. Like,
because that's not what he does. He takes the fight out of the city.
Yeah.
That's what he always does.
Dude, I mean, he destroyed. I was like, what did he save?
No.
Like, everything was destroyed, dude.
Yeah, he wrecked everything.
Yeah, and like, just did not care.
No, he didn't.
Fucking
he didn't.
That really bugged me.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is a really, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah.
I just saw the second Captain America movie. That was all right. It was fun.
It was okay. Yeah, the Captain America movies are all right. They have good action in them.
Yeah, it was fun.
They have good action. Yeah, it was fine.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, when I watch those, I just, you know, go along for the ride. You know?
Yeah, but it's like, so for me, it's like, in general, such disposable. I, like, already have forgotten about the movie before it's over.
Yeah, I hear you. It's like, bam, done.
It's like eye candy and it's fine.
Yeah, like Amazing Spider-Man 2, I saw that and I was like, whoa, like, why not just
see
make,
that movie?
Why not just make it a cartoon, you know?
Yeah. That movie just aggravated the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing was just...
And the first one I liked, and then they went completely... Like I said, it's like they just went, he's really amazing now and can do stuff that, I don't know, I just didn't buy it.
Right. Well, and it was just, like, so melodramatic.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't give a shit about the romance, which, like, you know, at the end of the movie...
I gotta admit, I was kind of shocked that she... Yeah. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean... Yeah, but I
me,
like.
But,
but the problem was, is no. I was like, oh, like I registered it. I was like, oh shit, and then oh, that fucked up. But like, it wasn't like, holy shit, no.
Which is what
they were working towards, obviously, the whole time.
Yeah.
But I just didn't give a shit about their romance.
Yeah,
I was like,
you're right, because I was kind of like, oh, that's pretty cool. They killed her because in a in a big PG or kind of movie like that, I kind of like the kids are gonna see that. Hey man, life doesn't always work out.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
that's
I
good.
Did like that about that.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I hear that. I hear that. Yeah, there should be more movies.
Where
like points out to kids that you're fucked.
Yeah, it doesn't always work out.
You're fucked.
You know?
Yeah, this is the world. You're fucked.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not gonna.
Yeah, because then
seriously,
because then the first time someone tells them no when they're older, you know, they go get a machine gun and shoot up their school.
Yeah, exactly.
And you gotta have some failure and you know get shut down.
Yeah,
and,
you think that's what it is?
And lose at Little League and you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All
that's
that stuff.
Really important. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not hardcore, but I think the wussification of America is pretty much, it's real, you know?
I agree. Yeah. I actually totally agree. It's the concept of playing a soccer game where everybody wins.
Yeah, what does that teach you?
I mean, what
does
that
teach you?
That's
not how life is.
Yeah.
You know, you go for a job, you don't always get it. We know that.
Right, exactly. It's the story of my life.
Yeah, so it's
not
a middle
getting
name.
Jobs. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I think... You prepare them by, you know, hey, no. And like already now, you know, I got my daughter's almost, she's going to be 2 in November. But with her already, I mean, we have to discipline. And, you know, even if we want to, I'll say no sometimes just to, so that she knows no.
Oh, yeah.
You don't always get
it.
And, you know, your son's going to be 9, so.
Yeah, and he's,
he tests you even more.
Yeah, well, and he's an only child, too.
Yeah.
So there's like a certain level of like unavoidable, like spoilings that happen from grandparents and whatnot.
Yeah.
When, you know, he's the only one. So we have to tell him no all the time.
Yeah.
Like, because he'll want shit. He'll want a, you know, whatever, a Pokemon thing.
Yeah. And you can do it, but hey.
Well, and we tell him, we give him, like, a few bucks a week and, like, save up your money. You can get whatever you want. But he wants it right away. And we're like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
No,
and he gets pissed.
Yeah.
You're mad.
Good.
Fine. I'm going to eat my dinner in my room. Go ahead.
I don't want to see your face anyway.
I'm not buying you that shitty piece of plastic you want so much. Sorry.
Exactly. Why don't you make one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, get a job. You buy all the plastic you want.
Exactly. Motherfucker.
Yeah, he's going to trade school when he's 12. You. That's it.
That's it, man. Gone.
We'll see you later.
But no, it's tough. It's tough, but I love it. You know, I love the challenge.
Yeah, cool. There is. How much do you feel like society? Because I think there's other things in addition to like the wussification and all that stuff. Yeah. There's other elements of society that, you know, affects our children that we have to hassle with, like you know, just like what pop culture influences them. You know, the way they dress and all that stuff.
Oh yeah,
and there's a lot because of that sort of it, like, you know, going hand in hand with the wussification thing. Like people aren't disciplining. Like if a kid, you know, wants to wear like an inappropriate outfit to school, you know, the parents are like, okay, and then the schools
The school says, why are you letting him wear this?
And then there's this like blowback about that. Like, how much do you feel like that's a hassle as a parent?
Well, I'm sure it definitely is. I mean, I watch my daughter dance already to songs, you know, and then like sometimes I'm like, don't be dancing to that song. You know what I mean? If the song's like not appropriate, it's like, you start thinking, but
yeah, I catch Colby singing like inappropriate song. Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, where did you learn that?
Yeah, come on, man. But I mean, I think it's also the parent. The parent has to parent.
I think it's like so different now because whereas when I was a kid, you know, if my parents didn't want me exposed to something, it was very easy to keep that shit out of the life. But like now it's impossible. There's screens everywhere and billboards everywhere and there's just such a huge influence. And it's like you can
think what you're doing is saying this is dumb, kind of just explaining to them. It's dumb, you know.
Right.
Like you said, you know, you just have to, you know, look on your feet and do that.
Yeah. And it's
explain it to them. It's like, don't let that, you know.
Yeah. And then you got to know how much information to give them. You don't want too much information at a young age.
Exactly.
You know? Like, we have to, like, on a certain level, talk to Colby about certain sexual issues, even though he doesn't really understand what that's about. But there's so much, there's such an inundation of sexual imagery and all that stuff.
Yeah, that you're like.
And, you know, we have to constantly talk about that. As you know, kind of being a negative, so he doesn't grow up.
They had to take down one of the shows had the snake coming out. It was a kind of
The Strain.
Yeah, they had to take those down. Like there's a big old thing. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but they got a bunch of
because
kids. But
totally. And it was creepy, and it's a disturbing image. Yeah. But like, why that particular one?
Yeah.
Like tipped the scales for the Hollywood elite. Because that's why it got taken down.
Because
rich people in Hollywood who were in the industry. Was like,
I don't want to have to talk to my son.
Why would you do that? Yeah, I don't want to talk to my kid. Why would you do that?
But, like, snake's going in her thing.
There's been so many. And I've like said, like my wife and I have had conversations about that.
Yeah.
You know, we've never like gone to tried to stop it from happening. But we're like, that's a weird choice, that billboard for Dexter where he's holding a baby and they're like all splattered with ketchup.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It doesn't look like ketchup. No. It looks like they're splattered with blood.
Oh, yeah,
my kid's like, why are those people splattered in blood?
Shut up.
Shut up. Don't worry about it.
It's dumb.
Right.
It's a hard one
you have to have that conversation. It's made up.
Well, I can't wait for that. We're not there yet.
Yeah, it'll start happening once the weird questions start coming.
Oh, and of course, you know, my oldest is a girl, so that's, you know, that's horrifying.
I don't envy you that.
And my friend, of course. The best way he put it was like, yeah, you know, he's like, when you have a guy, you only have to worry about one dick. I'm like, thanks, bro.
Thanks a lot.
So it's scary. Yeah, I mean, I see what girls are wearing now, and I think, what's it going to be when she gets that?
Yeah,
God.
Yeah.
I saw this thing right now, someone put on the internet, whatever, that like there's this trend where girls are going out in their underwear, for Christ's sake.
What?
Yeah. Look it up. I don't run the company or
I don't want
to,
like, luck, I'll have, like, the cops banging down my door. Like,
yeah,
what are you looking at on your computer?
Somebody sent the link on Facebook. Just said it's an article, you know, about, like, they're snapping girls in subways in New York and everything, and they're just, they're wearing underwear.
Like, is it lingerie, or is it?
Yeah, like, lingerie type, or just, like, the little short underwear, like just underwear.
Just right? underwear.
Underwear.
With like a shirt or something?
Yeah, a shirt. They'll have a shirt and every outfit, but they're wearing underwear.
I consider myself a liberal human being, but when it comes to that shit, I'm like, who's watching the shop?
Yeah.
How can you let your daughter go out like
that's
that?
That's what I'm saying. But they're sneaky too.
But then you get this blowback argument now. It's like, well, you're just a sexist asshole.
Yeah,
it's no, I'm not a sexist
asshole.
She's
wearing underwear.
Yeah, she's... it's not about me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look at a 12-year-old in her underwear and get, turned on or anything. Yeah. I just get horribly shocked.
Yeah.
Being sexualized shouldn't bother you.
Or you look... And then she turns and you realize she's 12.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
Because why is she wearing that?
Right.
I mean, your eyes go there and then she turns around and you're like, oh, shit.
Right. But that, and then the argument is, well, you're a perverted old man. And I'm like, no, I'm not. No. I'm a man. And there are all these boys and men of all different ages who are looking at her that way.
Exactly.
And there is such a thing as sexual predators.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a huge invitation to that. Am I saying that women, girls and women shouldn't be sexual? Well, no, of course they are sexual and they can be sexual, but I mean, Jesus Christ, you can't let your 14-year-old leave the house.
7-Eleven by my house, I had two young girls who looked like 13, 14, asked me to buy them cigarettes, around the corner. And they were dressed really, they looked like they were trying to be out there, grown up. And I said, hey, I'm not going to do that, girls. I said, and please be careful. Not everyone's as nice as me.
Yeah.
And I took off.
Exactly.
You got to warn them, man. Hey.
But that's what I don't get that argument. And it's just so weird, this resistance to, telling your kids what to do in order to keep them safe.
I know. Man, we're going to probably have to turn it up if you want to keep them,
Right.
Or raise them the way you want to raise them without, like you said, because there is a lot of, outside influences now. And they're going to see it,
Yeah, they're going to, and their friends are going to dress that way.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to dress that way.
Communicate with them. You got to keep it open so that they ask you
this.
Well,
you have to explain why.
Yeah.
You have to explain why. Here's why I'm worried about you not being safe in that outfit because there are, the world's full of.
Yeah.
Monsters.
Yeah, perfect example where it worked, where I explained it to my younger brother, and he probably hates it. I'm talking about this, he'll never hear it, but he used to dress up in high school in El Paso, Texas.
Uh-huh.
He used to dress like a girl. My younger brother's gay, but he even went to the prom in full makeup, dress and
everything.
That's
brave.
Yeah, in there, but when I would go visit, he'd want to dress like that and go out. And what I told him is look, mijo, I love you. And I love that you know who you are. I mean, I'm envious of how secure you are with who you are.
Right, to be honest. Right.
I love it. I said, but, if you dress like that, when we go out, people are going to say stuff to you. Guys are going to say stuff to you, and it's going to hurt me. And I'm going to have to say something, and you see how we're going to get in problems? Causing problems. If you just dress normal, we don't have to get into that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
And that's what he took. He goes, okay. And then he had fun with it. Then he put on regular shirt, and then the whole time we were out, he was butching it up and trying to walk like a dude. He's like, hey, what's up, bro? And, he had a blast with it. But he understood that.
Right. Well, you want to avoid
someone, and Mexicans are hardcore, and they're going to talk shit. And I've been with them where guys would whistle at them, talk shit. Hey! Then they're just making fun of him,
Right, yeah. It would be nice to live in an ideal world where people can dress however the hell they want to dress. But, I think that's a prime example of the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
And why invite
trouble?
We can go, there are lots of places we can go where you can wear a dress and there'll be no trouble.
Right.
We can do that. But if you want to go here this night,
you're going to cause, I want to have fun and you're going to ruin the whole trip.
Right,
just
exactly.
Just because you want to do what you want to do.
Right, exactly.
And not think about everybody else.
So right, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So I think that's the way to do it,
Yeah,
and you just explain to her that, look, there are guys out there and,
And you don't want to invite that shit. Yeah.
But my friends all wear it. Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. It's just, Yeah, that's insane. I have a friend who he's in the Navy, and he used to be stationed in San Diego. He isn't anymore, but we used to go down and visit them all the time. And he has these two cute little blonde daughters, you know. And when they were that age, you know, I was just like, dude, you know how much trouble you're in. You're in so much trouble. Yeah. And he is. I don't know how he handles that.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they're like really good kids, but they must have had to have a lot of those kind of conversations. Oh, yeah. No, you're not going to wear that. No, you're not going to do that. It's insane. I can't imagine.
Well, that's the other thing too. You know, I think about where I want to raise them. You know, what kind of girls do I want her to grow up around?
Right.
So that's another thing to think about, you know?
Yeah.
When we're looking to settle down where we want to live, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for us, it's just important not to be in a completely gentrified, place.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Cause, I mean, I grew up surrounded by white people.
Yeah.
That was where I grew up. It was all white people.
Yeah.
You know, and the only minorities that I knew, like, came in on buses from out of town to come to the, you know, better school sort of thing. And I always had, I and there was a lot of perfectly nice, rich white people in this town.
Yeah.
But, like, just the whole kind of feeling of it, I never liked.
Yeah.
I never liked. It was just too milquetoast. And I don't want... I think we're doing a good job with Colby because he doesn't, you know, recognize so many things as far as, like, color and all that. Like, he's sort of become more aware of the fact that there's prejudices and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And like, sexuality, too. And, like, he's grown up around, you know, gay people and black people and Latino people and all that.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
Like, seeing... I really think it matters.
Really. It's like,
you can... If you're bringing them up in, like, an all-white place and teaching them those values, that's all well and good, but it's like learning a second language.
Yeah.
If you're immersed in society, then you're going to learn the language, but if you're not, you're not. So
exactly.
I feel like he's kind of learning that language of colorblindness and acceptance
that's
and all that.
Yeah, he'll never see it.
Yeah,
you
know? He
just
won't.
See a person, that's great.
Yeah, and it won't be a thing. And I think that's actually, like, that is something that gives me hope for the future.
Oh, yeah.
Like, especially, you know, dealing with that shit in Ferguson and all. Like, it's so weird. I'm like, why are people still so backwards with race relations?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like I'm up here. And because I grew up in an all-white town, when I moved to New York City for, to go to NYU... Like, you know, the cross-section of races and sexual orientations and religion and all that, like blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized, oh, shit, I have these things that I need to stop doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's like when you grow up with nothing but white people, or nothing but any race, I imagine.
Yeah.
There's, like, slanderous things that are dropped off. You know, like, he Jewed me on that.
Oh,
sort
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
And you walk in, like, suddenly you're hanging out with a lot of Jewish people, and you're like, I can't say that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that fucking shit is anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
I can't say that,
No.
It's, like, the same about anything.
Anything.
And coming out of, like, such an all-white place, I didn't realize just how racist it was.
Yeah.
But then I found out, you know, in retrospect.
Because it was normal to you, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way. And I found out in retrospect that there was one black family that moved into this town. And you have to be affluent people to move into this town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it was a wealthy town. My parents got in, you know, before it blew up and became, you know, a rich place. But the one black family that moved in, they were there for a year and then they moved away.
Yeah.
And, one of my best friend's dads was like his friend and they used to golf together and all that shit. And then he said, like, why are you leaving? And he's like, because nobody wants me here. And he's like, you're literally the only person in this town who has welcomed me into their home. You know, like these people across the street from them had like an annual barbecue. And like 2 years running, didn't, you know, invite these people. So after, you know, a year and a half in the town, they were like, fuck it.
See, that's...
You know, everybody in the neighborhood was invited
horrible.
To this neighborhood party except the black family. And like the fact that that happened, I'm like, so I was right. I grew up in a racist place.
But see, the funny thing
is,
I'm the opposite. You know what I mean? Like I would have stayed. I would have had a dueling barbecue. and made better shit.
Yeah.
You know? Come on over. See, that's just the way I am. You know, I like whatever. I would have sent them something for the barbecue.
Right.
See, I mean, that's the way I do. You know, kill them with kindness, you know.
Yeah.
I would have let that shit be known. I would have went to, hey, thanks for inviting me to the barbecue, man.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'll call them on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's the only way. It's
but I guess they just felt so much tension, just all around.
Yeah,
it's like,
unsaid or you know,
yeah, it's like
sad,
being a stranger
it.
In
yeah.
a strange land. You know, it's like, but like the fact it was fucking ridiculous. Like
I
when I heard
it.
That, I was like, I was livid.
See, for me, it almost would have made me become with their worst nightmare.
Oh yeah,
I would have went with
that's
it.
The way you do it. That's the way you do it.
I think partying your strategy, every night, blast the fucking stairs.
Yeah, yeah, fuck it. Yeah. Yeah. You think I'm going to act this way anyway.
Here we go.
So here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
We should write the script. Shut up. Nobody take it.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. It's a good comedy. Yeah. We should do that.
I know. All right. This is over. We're going to write.
All right. All right. Are you signing off?
No.
You
let me know when the show ends.
Well, we're about in an hour. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I mean, if you want to keep talking, we can. Or
What else?
Ah, jeez. I got a crown for the first time in my life.
You did?
Yeah, yesterday. I got a crown. It feels so fucking weird.
Yeah, I've had them. Yeah. I think I still have some of the ones I'm not supposed to. Do you see any silver in there?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so. But my dentist, you know, like most things, they're like, you know, you've had them, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not as hardcore, you know, everybody. Because, of course, who paid for... to get all that silver out of there, the people that are putting in the fucking porcelain ones.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know, shit.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I put a bunch of stuff in my system. I'm not worried about that.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Well, I have never had a cavity.
All right, so it feels foreign to you, right? Like you got something different in your mouth.
Like, and it wasn't
like
a cavity.
A part of you.
It wasn't a cavity. I split a tooth.
Ooh.
From grinding my teeth at night. Like, and I'd never had, like, a toothache like that. And, like, my wife was out of town.
Ooh.
So I was trying to keep it together so my son wouldn't freak out,
ooh.
You know, because he's home alone with dad. But it's a fucking worst pain.
Yeah.
It was the worst pain.
Oof.
It hurt so fucking much. I just wanted to cry.
Fuck.
I wanted to cry like a child. And run to my mother.
You didn't want
to
cry in front of your son?
Well, no, not about...
So when you broke it, before you got the crown? Yeah.
Like it split, so they had to yank the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And then it took a year to get... Because they put a post
in
there, and you have to it has to heal, and then they have to add more shit to it.
So these two are crowns here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Up front, yeah. Now, what I hate about them is, like it's just... I'm not completely me anymore. Like, it's weird. Like, I have fake... You know, that's not...
Yeah.
And it messes
with
me.
It's like you're Darth Vader.
I play with them all the time, you know? I'm like, oh, that's not real. God damn it.
Well, that's what's like, I can't stop feeling this back tooth with my tongue. It just feels
weird. Well, my advice is stop it, because, then your tongue starts to get sore, because, I had to make myself stop.
Because,
you're going to want to do it, and then it'll get raw. Because, you do the grinding, so it'll switch to that now.
Right.
You'll wake up, and your tongue will be all, like, raw and stuff, because that's what you've been doing on
Right.
Playing with it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're talking about crowns.
Crowns. This is Crowns? The Crown Show?
Yeah, the Crown Show.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a fan of going to the dentist, I got to say.
Yeah, I'm due next week. I just go to a cleaning every 6 months.
I do that, too.
Yeah,
but then I found out I should have... Do you get eye exams?
I need that.
I'm
pretty sure I need glasses.
My wife just went because, like, she was having a little bit of blurred vision. So she needs to wear, like, reading glasses and stuff now. But the guy was like, why haven't you been coming to the – you're supposed to do it annually. I haven't done it.
I'm pretty sure I need them.
In, like, 10 years, I haven't
gotten
an eye
doctor. Yeah, I'm the same way. And I was in – this is going to really piss people off. I was in Puerto Rico, like, 2 years ago. Yeah, it was right before we had the kids. So 2 years ago and – this guy that we were hanging out with that we met and stuff, he had glasses and stuff, and I grabbed him just playing around, and I looked at the TV up there, and I was like, holy shit. Like, it just looked so much clearer. So I'm actually not even seeing stuff as bright or as clear as I think. You know what I mean? But it seems so normal to me, like this.
Yeah.
But I'm fucking cheating myself, probably. Like, I need to go get my eyes checked.
Yeah, I gotta go.
We're cheating ourselves.
Well, and apparently, like,
but see, we're around the same age. I just think we don't want to admit it, man.
Oh, No.
Yeah, I'm already losing my hair, man. I don't want to have to wear glasses.
Yeah, I know. But it's like inevitable. Yeah. We're fucked.
But see, I'd rock the glasses. I'm not a contact guy, I don't think. I'd have to go glasses.
I can't. No, but that's part of the reason I don't go to an eye doctor is I hate having shit, like pointy shit near my eyes. Yeah. And they fucking jam stuff on your eyeball. And like, I'm checking your eyeball. Yeah, it's like fucking, it freaks me out to no end. So that's why I don't go. I mean, I'd rather go to a goddamn proctologist and have them digging around my bunghole than someone fucking pointing at my... It is. It's like that.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't go, because I'm kind of terrified of eye doctors.
I need to do that. All right, so we're going to the eye doctor.
All right, so we got to write a script and go to an eye doctor.
That's it. And then we need to... All right, dude. Well, thanks for being on my show, man.
Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem.
It's a great show.
Yeah. So everybody, follow me at L Chico Boyar. Thank you on Twitter. That's it.
And get Big Ass Spider.
Yeah, get Big Ass Spider.
Watch Murder.
Watch Murder in the First. Yeah, it won't be out until 2015. Season one on TNT.com. TNTDrama.com.
It's still on.
They got the episodes on there.
And is it like on iTunes or anything?
I don't know if it is. No, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't buy it yet.
Like Hulu, maybe?
Maybe Hulu.
Maybe it'll be on Netflix?
Maybe I should have done my homework.
I don't, Yeah, you should. But there is places to watch it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. TNTDrama.com for sure. They have all the episodes there for the first season, so you can be caught up for season two.
And did we say it went and watched Big Ass Spider? Did we say that yet?
Yeah, Big Ass Spider's available. That's not coming to Netflix. And,
is it coming?
Yeah.
And maybe it's on Netflix already.
Yeah, I think it is already.
I think I saw it, yeah. I, of course, bought a Blu-ray copy of it.
Ah, thanks,
brother. Because I don't hassle with that Netflix stuff when it comes to important films.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, buy Big Ass Spider.
Yeah,
on Netflix, because I think I'll get some of that.
Oh yeah,
finally
you get a little taste.
Yeah, hey,
a little residual.
Hey,
yeah.
We'll see, I'll get my 50 cents.
Yeah, exactly. What's the smallest residual check you ever got?
Oh, this year Fox made a bunch of mistakes, so I actually got 3 void checks.
What?
Yeah, for the first time they overpaid, and then they sent out like what they overpaid, and it was void checks.
What?
So I got that, but I have one for 1 cent.
Oh, I see. So they already had paid you.
They previously had paid me,
I see.
Now they're just sending me the thing.
The check's saying we're not sending
you this
money.
They're spending the stamp, you know, or the postage.
It's so weird.
Yeah,
I know. I've gotten residual checks literally for 1 cent.
Yeah.
And, like, the money they spent on somebody to, like, process everything and then the shipping and, like, just printing the fucking checkout.
Yeah, I'm going to my voice registry right now to pick up it's going to be probably that thick envelope. You guys can't see, but an inch thick envelope of all these checks that have come. It's the stubs for a cartoon I did called Rocket Power like years ago, and they're running again. But, yeah, it'll all add up to, like, $8.
It's awesome. Yeah. That's being an actor. All right, we already said goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Peace.